Welcome back. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio, Eastern Pennsylvania.
I'm just fixing the mic.
And this is Mocha Gumbo, and I'm Kevin.
And I'm James. Ooh, look at that. Sounds good. Yeah. I sound good.
Right, let me just fix these levels here because we're all over the place. It seems like every time we come in the studio now, there's just stuff. It used to be some kind of order. Now we come in and it's just like a hurricane hit the studio.
Yeah, or, you know, three states in the United States.
Oh, yeah. Too soon, huh?
Is it too soon?
No.
There's a lot of stuff been going on.
Yeah,
I feel like Julian. I'm too far away from the mic sometimes.
I have a buddy who's really, like, on top of the... You know, like, I think it was... Was it Mark Twain who said tragedy plus time equals comedy?
Yes.
He doesn't do the whole time bit.
Ooh.
He goes straight to comedy.
That's dark.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, you know, when there's like national tragedies, I'm sure like the internet makes hard, like dank memes out of like the war stuff.
Yeah.
He, like the day of whatever the most topical
tragedy is.
That's
when they're the most dank, I guess. Right?
I guess, but like he'll be... I mean, I won't even have time to read the story. That's how fast he's on it with just
like,
awful jokes.
So it's not even funny because you don't know what's going on. You know the context.
Yeah, it's actually kind of... I laugh out of disbelief because I'll like he'll say oh blah 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 and then I'll like go on Google News and be like dude come on.
Yeah, I got that. That makes sense.
Let's go.
Is this level good?
Hit me again.
Ah.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
I noticed I've. I was listening back to some of our shows, and I come in way too loud, so I'm trying to keep myself lower.
That's just because you talk loudly.
I do. I notice my inflection is like, usually I'm at a fairly moderate level, but I'll get really excited, and then I'll listen to it, and I'll hear myself blare.
You get really into it sometimes.
Yeah. So I'm gonna cool it down. We're also gonna transition to coffee too.
That's fine, though, don't worry. Where am I right now? Here we go. It's been a week.
Yeah, it has.
It's been 2 weeks, rather. At least since we've last seen each other.
When last seen each other?
Well, like in this setting, you know.
Did you miss me?
I did. I missed our date.
Yeah, it is like our little, our Monday evening date. I'm going to be honest, I'm extremely tired.
Me too. I have a lot of meetings after this. I had a lot of class before this, so.
For me, it was just, I don't have too much going on, but... Well, this coming weekend is my 21st birthday.
Ooh!
So, happy
tell
birthday.
Tell me more.
Shameless
plug.
Yeah. If you see me on campus, go ahead and just give me a, you know, make me feel like I have self-worth.
Hmm.
Give me a nod.
That's going to be
like,
hard
acknowledge.
For you.
You don't even have to say happy birthday. Just say, like, good birth or whatever. Whatever you can muster.
All right. Speaking of which, when I say tell me about it, I mean start with the story of your conception.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned this. I think I mentioned this to you. I don't celebrate my birthday. I celebrate my conception day.
Oh.
Yeah.
So.
It's an interesting tale. We don't really... I don't.
So I shouldn't care about this coming weekend then, right?
Yeah, no.
Why would you even mention it?
I don't celebrate it, but I'm just letting you know. It is my birthday. But
that's like letting me know when a foreign holiday is. I'm not going to celebrate it, but I know it exists.
Hey,
right?
I've thought about celebrating Boxing Day. You know how big Boxing Day is?
Yeah, it's
in
huge.
Canada? It's huge. I was
but
there.
You'd be one of those people. You know what I mean?
Oh, I was in Canada at one point for Boxing Day, and they go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bunch of people drunk shopping. Like, they're just hammered, just buying a lot of stuff.
That's pretty sweet, actually.
That's cool. But, so I'm turning 21. So I want to get... most of what I would do on the weekend out of the way right now.
Hmm.
I don't want to worry about anything. But I don't have any friends who are 21. So
you could have stopped a bit earlier there.
I don't have any friends. So my parents were doing the classic 21 in Jersey thing, which is to go to Atlantic City.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Probably
my grandmother wants to take me there to the Sands.
It's to the Sands.
She's a huge gambler.
It's a nice place. I mean, even for nightlife, it's a nice place. Now, I thought I had heard that it was sort of washed up, so to speak. That was a joke.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I can make those jokes, I think, right?
Really?
If you were involved in the tragedy, you're allowed to make the jokes.
Were you involved in the tragedy, though?
I was on the shore. I live on the shore, pretty much.
Yeah.
Kinda. I'm like
I mean, did you lose your house?
From the shore. No.
Did you lose your roller coaster?
Kinda. Yeah, we did. Yeah, those pictures were crazy, huh?
Yeah, oh my god. Wow. Some guy swam out to that, you know that?
Did you ever see the picture of the half house?
No.
It's a house, and it looks like someone took a buzzsaw and just cut it down the middle.
Oh, just like raised it. That's sick.
And it's like it's just one half is standing and the rest is just gone.
Hmm.
That is a pretty infamous picture, but it's like right, just like, I don't know, probably 10 blocks from my house.
Jesus, yeah. Wow.
Anywho, going to Atlantic City, I had heard that I guess it's making a comeback. You really can't destroy Atlantic City. I mean, it's
so like a cockroach. It never goes away.
Which is fitting because cockroaches is kind of why. I'd heard that some of the bigger names, Tropicana, maybe Caesars. But I'd heard some of them, you know, they had like problems, like, you know, infestations, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I had heard that it was disgusting. And it used to be a beautiful place. But I think it's making a comeback. I know there's, you know, Caesars, at least the casino's beautiful.
I feel like you want to go down to AC. Well, you go there for gambling, obviously, right? But there's a lot of, like, near the boardwalk, there's a lot of mom and pop shops, which are really cute.
Yeah, no, it's a cute touristy area, but mostly for the nightlife, too. I mean,
yeah.
Even if you want to go bar hopping, it's a decent place to do that. But we're actually going to, recently, Lehigh Valley, or I'm not sure where, but I know Lehigh Valley is getting its APA, which is designation for to be a wine so, appellation. Yeah. So probably Friday, I won't be 21, but I don't have to know that.
Kevin, how could you?
At least hang out to go by the wineries, because I'll be 20, or maybe Saturday toward Atlantic City. Anyway, I'm planning on doing that.
Underage
so
drinking?
No, never. No. No.
Okay. Thank God. I was worried about you for a second.
That's probably not the best topic, isn't it? Like Alcohol Awareness Week.
Oh yeah, it is.
Yeah. Be aware of your alcohol consumption. I don't really know what the themes are. I don't really know how to be
it's,
aware.
It's more so just like blacking out isn't normal, throwing up isn't normal, which is true. It's really not.
It really is.
It is a huge problem.
Speaking of, I mean, in the spirit of Alcohol Awareness Week, be a little more liberal in the way we talk about it on air. I can't remember. I really honestly, and I'm a drinker, you know, I think that's.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Kevin, I don't think we can work together anymore. Wow.
And I'm talking about beyond the blood of Christ, like more than the grail at church. You're right. after my communal sups at Sunday Mass, I do
Jesus
partake.
God.
Yeah, exactly. And I've never blacked out. I don't get how. I don't understand not only how that happens, but like physically, like physiologically, how that can happen. You know?
Oh, I mean, it really depends on body weight, amount of alcohol consumed, amount of food eaten that day.
No, here's the thing. Because for me, whenever I've approached, you know, bad, you know,
sloshed.
Sloshed.
Or very, zonked, if you will.
I like zonked. I've never
zonked
heard
is good, yeah. We got a lot of slang in my part of Jersey.
Yeah, I like zonked.
Or sussed.
Sussed.
Some people say zooted, but that's more for marijuana.
Have you heard housed?
Housed? Yeah, yeah, or hosed, or...
Yeah. But I
think
I don't
I'm
know.
Gonna go with zonked.
I'm gonna probably steal that from you. Anytime I've ever approached that, my body rejects it, and there's like a countdown. Like if you keep going, I'm putting in the you know, contingency plan, and you're either gonna fall asleep or throw up, and you're not gonna feel good either way, or you're gonna get the spins. I've never hit that point, and I think you have to do something, like, it has to be a certain medium that really makes you black. I've maybe browned out, I've heard, is a thing.
I think, well, at least in, I think it's more so, like, people will have, like, mixed drinks and stuff, right?
Huh.
And you really don't have all the alcohol hit you until a certain point, right?
Uh-huh.
So if you're just drinking these mixed drinks very quickly, it's not going to hit you until it does all at once. You know what I mean? And then you get, it's like getting hit with a sledgehammer.
That's what I like. It's got to be like a bombshell. You know, you've got to take
it. It's not a gradual thing. I'm pretty sure it's all like a, because all the stories I've heard from people that I've talked to about it is like, I remember this up until this exact point, and then I'm done.
That's, but you know what I find funny, and I'm not near the mic right now. What I find funny is like, I've heard none of the people I surround myself with, but you know, every now and then there'll be that guy, you know, that guy, italics, that guy who's like, yes, must have done two shots of Jaeger, I don't know, the ice luge, and took a dip in a.
Can we real pond quickly ask, like, why does that exist?
I don't know.
Who thought it was a good idea to drink through their?
I don't think people really do that. I think it's more of a myth.
It's a thing.
Oh yeah, you've been.
Not from personal experience or eyewitness testimony. Just I know it exists. That's not a joke.
Well, maybe it's a fiscal thing.
I mean, like you're still drinking the same amount.
No, you don't have to.
It's just
I'm not advocating whatsoever. But I'm saying objectively.
You do get. It's a lot more dangerous though.
Absolutely. It's incredibly dangerous.
Because you never vomit from it.
Yeah, and your I wish it could be a little more crude, but your butt was never meant for eating, for drinking. Like that's you are inverting God's plan.
There's not supposed to be an in to that system. It's all outwards.
But here's the thing. That guy who goes on that tirade and then he's like, yeah, and then I blacked out and I woke up and 4 p.m. on a bus, you know, in Newark, and you're like, dude,
I was getting stabbed like, slowly.
If
by
someone
a
was ever like,
guy.
Nobody ever starts as like blacking out is just you don't remember anything, right? You just like there's a portion of your night. That's about as absurd as someone walking up like everyone's telling stories while you're sitting around having a drink, whatever. And somebody goes, oh, let me tell you about the time I had amnesia. Sure, go ahead. Well, let me see. It started with
a pint of vodka.
You know what? I can't. Like, that's so ridiculous. Like, who would ever? If I ever said, you know, the one time that I did get bad, and that was in my early years when I didn't know what I was doing. It wasn't like and then I, you know, blacked out. It was like, oh man, I blacked out.
Yeah,
like,
it's the worst. I felt so bad.
Nobody wants to. The whole point is you hit. After about four drinks, I think you hit a buzz. You hit your buzz. For me,
I think it depends on the person.
For me,
yeah.
Right. So after four drinks for me, I hit my buzz, and you know, I the only thing that makes me do anything else or do any more is you're just as you know, my dad would say, you're chasing that high.
Yeah, there is. I don't know if you. I guess for you, it is that four drinks. It's what I call the golden BAC, right? Uh-huh. You're feeling good. You're, as Amy would say, vibing, right? And you just do everything a bit better. You know what I mean?
Right.
You feel warm.
Nothing's inhibited, really.
You feel warm on the outside and the inside. You're just feeling good. And I think you're right. I think a lot of drinking afterwards is either due to, not necessarily peer pressure, but, you know, because of what everyone else around you is doing, or if you're partaking in some sort of drinking game or something like that, or maybe. Because you want to stay at that level. But oftentimes getting off of that. Like little pedestal, you know what I mean?
The calculus is, and people make the same mental calculus when they're, you know, around drink four. You're like, in hindsight, you'd be like, no, if I had a drink every hour after that, I'd be perfect, you know? But in the midst of your beer haze, you're like,
yeah, you're like, I need to have three more drinks.
I have like nine to keep this up.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't make any sense.
And then it's a sluice.
Yeah. And I, you know, I think actually Lafayette signed, I think we were part of, you remember this, I think we talked about this before, the Amethyst Initiative?
I vaguely remember that.
Now, it was to lower the drinking age on campuses and to, like, you know, reduce the dryness of campus.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always wondered, I think in Europe, the culture's a little different. I think, you know, it's not uncommon for someone to have two drinks in the afternoon on a Wednesday, but not drink on a Friday, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or to have, like, two drinks every
other day.
Well,
it's because of the restrictions.
So I wonder what it would be like if you didn't
if there wasn't so much pent-up energy over your five-day week, and you took, you know, an hour and a half to enjoy a drink on a Wednesday night instead of seven on a Friday night, mm-hmm. and compound it all into one day, I wonder what the effects would be, you know?
I feel like people would initially go like crazy, like wild with it. So and probably then be an initial... everyone would just burn themselves out, uh-huh. right? They'd realize, I don't want to be drunk every day,
right?
And then they'd kind of either... I think you'd have the people who would still just drink heavily on 2 days out of the week,
right.
And then I feel like you'd have people who might like indulge a bit more during the rest of the week.
Sure.
Because it really depends on the kind of person you are, like the kind of uprising you had, I guess, or upbringing rather. Uprising.
The beer uprising.
Yeah, the kind of upbringing you had, coupled with the, I don't know, like I'm not someone who'd be able to have a drink every other day. Like that's just not something my body can do.
No, right. I don't know how, but you know, I've always wondered because I know, I used to always make the argument when I was like 17. I was like, "Mom, let me have a glass of wine." You know, they do it in Italy.
Mm.
And they really do.
They do. Yeah.
Like on dinner, it's just like a common thing. So it's not like glorified. It's not like, "Oh, finally my wine." It's just like, "Oh,
it's like, oh,
hey, there's the wine." You know, it's just like another thing. We were coming up to 16 minutes. We were at 16 minutes.
Yep.
Would you like to go into a track or two?
Yeah, sure.
All right, what do we got?
I'm going to start off with Chasing This by Mr. Wives off their new album. I'm actually thinking about seeing them in concert with a few people.
Uh-huh.
It's, there's one, it's Mr. Wives, Bishop Briggs and Vinyl Theater this Saturday.
Okay.
But the one I'm seeing hopefully is on November 2nd, and it's Mr. Wives, Bishop Briggs, Bleachers, which is the remnants of Fun after they broke up, and someone else.
Is this local?
It's at the Wilkes Bar Center.
Okay.
So like an hour and a half out. Yeah. It'll be pretty good if I go.
Alright.
But yep, this is Chasing This by Mr. Wives.
Chasing This by Mr. Wives. We will be right back. Enjoy the first fall day of the year, as we serenade you. We'll be back in a few minutes. Enjoy.
Yeah. It's a big, big city, and it's always the same. Can never be too pretty. Tell me your name, is it out of line? If I was to be bold and say, would you be mine? Because I may be a beggar and you may be the queen. I know I may be on a downer on the clock. The time is just the time it takes for you to talk. So if you're broken pieces and my head's a mess. And it's four in the morning and I'm walking along beside the ghost of every drinker here who's ever done wrong. And it's you, whoa, that's got me going crazy for the things you do. And so if you're crazy,
you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. This is still Mocha Gumbo, and I'm still James.
And I'm still Kevin.
Welcome. No, you're not.
Okay.
You're never
you're
the
right,
Kevin.
I'm not.
You're never going to be the Kevin you used to be.
I know. I thought I...
You
I
really
thought
fell
I,
off.
What?
You really fell off.
Yeah, off the wagon. Every morning I wake up and I open my window. You know, I open my window, I stick my head out, and I scream I peaked in high school.
Really?
Yeah. Just to, you know,
I guess
let
it's good,
everyone
it's good
know.
To, you know.
It reminds me and it reminds everyone else that
yeah,
I
keep yourself
in
check.
Uh-huh. I was talking to my roommate.
Big Fig.
And he was like, dude, how are you so, I forget exactly what he said. He was like, how are you so, like, satisfied right now? Like, I don't, you know, just because I, like, don't really do much. I just, like, I'll read and write and do a couple of things, do the show and do some research. But I don't really do a lot. And I guess, like, socially, he's like, how are you so satisfied? And I was like, Danny, I had my time. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I peaked in high school. And he's like, oh, all right. And I was like, you know, now everyone else gets their
yeah, it's time to stress
I'm
out.
Just, I peaked.
I saw this great comic, and it was two guys, and they were talking. And one of them is, hey, where's engineering major? Huh. And the other one says, oh, all right, watch, I got this. And he says, I have a lot of work to do today. And then the engineering major bursts through the wall and he's like, you think you have a lot of work? I have 467 labs today and 18 midterms. Other majors don't do work at all. So, like, I thought that was pretty funny.
That is funny. I've all of my engineering friends, none of them have pulled that. Mm. But if they do, I'm smack down.
I have a few people who are like, you think you have a lot of work? And I was like, yes, I actually do. I had, that's me tooting my own horn before this one.
Right, of course.
So in the last 4 days, I've had 3 exams, 2 quizzes, a presentation and a paper due.
That's crazy.
So after my last class today, which is 2 hours ago, I'm just done.
Right.
Like, there's no possible way I have any work to do. I've just been done with everything right now. So now I have nothing to do. And now I feel weird because not being productive is freaking me out. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So instead, I've just scheduled a bunch of meetings for my extracurriculars, and now I have to get through that.
I don't like the fact that isn't it kind of messed up that people aren't good? Like, it's actually a skill being able to do nothing.
Yeah.
People are so uncomfortable doing nothing.
It's because capitalism is a meritocracy. No, I'm not even kidding. That's exactly what it is. This is what I learned about.
You just sound like you're preaching Marx. No,
I mean, kind of. This is exactly what we learned about in our ANS class. Huh. We learned the other day, or a few weeks ago rather, there's capitalism actually drives suicide, right?
Okay.
One of the main things is
capitalists are not a fan of you right now, but
go ahead. I mean, I'm a capitalist. That's the thing. Like, but I understand that it's a flawed system, right? Well, one of the main things is individualism, right? Everything is on the individual. So if you succeed, it's you did it. But if you fail, it's entirely your fault, right? Similarly, there's not like one. You don't really feel a part of something larger like you do in other societies, stuff like that. But I think the main thing really is that capitalism is a meritocracy. So when we're not doing things that, or we're not accomplishing things, you know what I mean? It just makes us feel bad, or at least to some people. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, this reminds me of an argument that was brought up in one of my Gov courses a week or two ago, and it was funny because I think people have the inkling that, or just the vague notion that perhaps they do too much work and they're unsure why. Because you can never do too much work if you're certain of your ends. You know, like, if I want to create a beautiful fresco in the Sistine Chapel, I will never feel overworked because I want to create a beautiful fresco.
Yeah, you have a goal in mind.
Right. Now, some people just work. I think that's what probably gets a lot of people down, or why people feel so uncomfortable in college, is because they're not working toward any specific end. So the end's kind of murky, you know?
I mean, I guess we're all working towards the void, but...
Oh, of course. But, of course we're working towards the void. But I think... The argument that was brought up in this course a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about, you know, I believe it was, does capitalism drive, or exactly, does capitalism force you into certain behaviors, like, you know, say, getting a degree? And a lot of people were saying yes, because, and I swear, I don't think I'm being hyperbolic here, I think I'm speaking candidly, okay, or speaking in the spirit of what they said. No, because society.
Really?
I'm not kidding when I just kept hearing, no, but society tells you, and society. And so I have my reservations when people say, not you particularly, but when anyone says capitalism or is a meritocracy in the fact that you feel legitimated based on the amount of work that you do and how productive you are. Because, I mean, capitalism as an idea can't tell you to feel good about being productive. What can is, let's say, your parents, when you're 2 years old, give you a chocolate bar every time you write a paper.
That's just conditioning, though.
Right, but conditioning is, like, there has to be some sort of tangible conditioning in this system for you to feel awful if you're not creating.
I think it
can't just be society. It has to be an actual act.
Well, I don't think it's society. I think it's the idea that, I mean, the basis of a meritocracy is that the more you do, the better you will be, right? The more you'll succeed. Success is based off of work, right? Or what you achieve directly correlates to how well you do as a person, right?
As a person, that's whether a lot different.
Whether it is financially or emotionally or something like that, right? Because you feel good when you finish things. That's not necessarily the byproduct of a meritocracy, but I think it does have something, like, it does definitely play into that.
Well, here's why I think it has. There has to be some sort of tangible initial conditioning, is because capitalism doesn't rely on... capitalism assumes that, one, you're self-interested, and two, that money is a means of satisfying self-interest. Yeah,
which is not the same for everyone. Again, we additionally learned while we were learning about the idea of capitalism, right? About, you know, a hunter-gatherer society who is happy with what they have because what they have is what they need, and what they need is what they want.
Right.
What one of the main arguments against capitalism was that, or at least there was one anthropologist or philosopher or something that said that every man, you know, man as in every person, because they didn't count women.
Sure.
Is based off of this insatiable desire for material things, which just isn't true for everyone.
Right.
That's really extrapolating to other societies and not taking them into account. But what it's basically trying to say is that obviously I'm not going to cover everything in like a 20-minute span, nor do I want to.
Right.
But it's basically our American society has come down to the idea that we work, firstly, in conditions where we don't care about our jobs, right? Or we don't care about our higher-ups, the people who are our bosses and stuff like that. Like, we work solely for income, stuff like that.
Right.
And it was a lot of things, just like capitalism has turned society into a sort of more
I really hope we have a bunch of right-wing listeners right now who are tuning into the liberal arts college radio and going, oh, all right, they're just bashing on capitalism.
Oh, Marxist said it again. Yeah. I'd like to move off from this. I apologize for the direction I took it.
No,
but
no.
Like, it's something that I have knowledge of but can't just draw from my memory.
You'd have to sit down
at length
and organize your thoughts.
But I think you understand roughly what I'm trying to get at.
I do. I think a lot of... I think certain people are better... And generally, I think there's an even division between people who know how to relax and people who don't.
Mm.
Because there seems to be, for every person I see, you know, making a beeline from point A to point B throughout their entire day and not stopping to talk or just breathe, there's always one person that's laying on, you know, the Adirondack chairs.
I haven't been able to do that this semester.
No, but I'm talking about, like, when you finally have nothing to do, when there's no urgency. I think it's actually a skill someone could develop. I mean, I think that's kind of what meditation does, but it's a skill to be able to go, all right, I don't have to be productive right now. I mean, it's funny that it's easier and more intuitive to make yourself busy than it is to not. I think that's just interesting. You know,
is it a guilt thing, do you think?
Yeah, it's some sort of comparative. I think when you're not doing anything, you're wondering what others are, maybe.
And then you're wondering why you're not doing anything.
Why you're not.
Or at least it's... It depends on the environment you put yourself in, I guess.
Yeah, because... And it also depends on place. Like, I was talking to my roommate the other day about being in Cali. And I was like, what are the big... Any big culture shock going from Cali to the Northeast? Because the Northeast, as far as I know, the Northeast of the United States is just one of the fastest places in the world.
It's ridiculous.
It's particularly metropolitan areas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that's a generalization, an unjustified generalization, but I think... From what I've heard, I think I read an article a while ago on I think it was Telegraph, or The Independent, about the speed of life in the American Northeast. So I was like, what's the biggest difference going from Cali to PA? And he said, you know, walking. In Cali, you know, if you're on campus and you're walking, or you're going to school, you're walking to class, it, you know, they walk at a pace of like half a mile an hour, like almost like you would
that's so
like,
leisurely,
like you would drunkenly amble is the pace they walk at. So he sees people flying,
like zooming. They got wheels.
I wish I could put it into perspective, but like kind of like the speed that you would mow your lawn at is like the speed that they walk. He was showing me, and I was like, you know, and I was, now I'm very conscious of the fact that I look around when I'm walking someplace to from wherever to wherever, and I see the just the forward eyes or the downward glance. Nobody, he's like, yeah, you'd walk in groups of three, people would talk, you sort of amble from place to place.
Mm.
That's insane to me, you know?
Yeah.
And it depends on where you're from. I think, you know, if you go to more rural areas, it's like you would never want to be in New York. If you go from the Midwest to, another guy I was talking to in another class, going from the Midwest to New York, it's like undoable.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't compute. Like, you're not fit for it. So it also, yeah, I think it's also depends on context and like conditioning. We're coming up to 4:45.
All right.
Probably have time for another two or three.
And then just sign off? Yeah, or maybe a 2-minute, you know, thing.
We'll play two songs. We'll come back. We'll have a little banter, and then we'll leave you to enjoy the rest of the evening. What are we going to?
All right, you want me to pick again?
Yeah, go ahead.
Alrighty, let's see what's on the old. Let's do. You know what? We'll do the song I was talking to you about earlier. This is Lo-Fi Children by Wild Party.
Lo-Fi Children by Wild Party. We will be back in roughly 8 minutes. Enjoy the music, enjoy the weather. We will see you soon.
Yeah. people see me on the street, they stop and stare. When I was
Welcome back. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. And it is Mocha Gumbo, and I'm Kevin.
And I'm James.
And we got a couple minutes left. We're coming up to the top of the hour, and that's where we call it. But we're going to do what we haven't done in a while.
It's our bit. It's word of the day.
The word of the day. So I haven't pulled it up yet, so just excuse the tapping and typing. Here we go. Merriam-Webster, the word of the day is... Cherry? Is that how we're going to pronounce it?
Chari?
Cherry.
Chari?
Cherry.
Cherry.
Pronounced, give me one second, pronounced like this.
Cherry.
Cherry. Oh, it is cherry.
Cherry.
There we go. Cherry, it means hesitant and vigilant about dangers and risks, or slow to grant, accept, or expend. And here's some examples for you if you want to get into the historical context.
I'd rather not.
Alexander Graham Bell didn't expect his telephone to be widely used for prank calls.
Cherry.
And Steve Jobs was chary of children using his iPhone.
I know pretty cherry people.
Huh?
That just sounds weird to say.
Cherry?
It's an adjective, right?
Yeah, you would expect it to have a little French twang to it.
Chalet?
Chalet.
Chalet. Or la la. It just doesn't sound like an adjective.
Or an SH sound. You'd expect a sherry. Instead of cherry.
Like a sherry. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I guess we could just bastardize it and say chalet.
Chalet.
I was expecting something. Ooh. Trending now. Here's the trending words.
Righteous.
Kafka-esque is trending. I don't
know
why.
Ooh, I like that one a lot,
That's
actually.
That's weird.
I mean, trending in what sense? This is from Merriam-Webster's point of view.
People looking up words? I don't know.
Why would people be looking up Kafka-esque?
I don't know. Maybe there was some
I like that a lot, actually.
Reference
Kafka-esque.
Yeah. Like Kafka.
Yeah, that's why I like Japanese so much. Because there's so many syllables I wouldn't use, you know what I mean? Just like... I can't do something now, but it's just... There are so many sentences where I say it, and I'm just done. Like, I finish it, I'm like, wow, that sounded really... It's a lot of verbal... jumps, if that makes any sense. Like, you gotta kind of mold your speaking to that.
I've always wondered what... I really want to know what English sounds like. People have tried to do it on YouTube, like, what English sounds like to a non-English speaker. But, like, English is so comfortable and familiar that you would never know what it sounds like
to someone
in
else.
An alien ear, you know? Yeah, yeah. So, like, Germans clearly don't know what, or I don't know why Germans, but Germans clearly don't know what German sounds like to a foreigner. Mm. But it sounds like this incredible, it has, like, character to it.
You know? It has a lot of anger.
And, like,
it.
I don't know, I feel like, I don't know, Arabic has, like, a crackly energy to it, you know? And it has like, a its own personality, the way I hear it.
Yeah, language in general does have that.
So, I like, I wonder what, tone. Like, what does American English sound like?
Crude, probably.
Do you think it sounds crude? Do you think it sounds remotely romantic?
I don't believe so at all. I think English is kind of, not necessarily harsh, but I don't think it's a very nice-sounding language.
But it's, the thing is, I don't hear the... German, like, you know, like, I feel like some harsh languages are the ones with, like, a lot of, like, throat, like, guttural noise.
Or just, like, hard syllables, yeah.
Or hard syllables. So, like, German comes to mind.
Hmm.
You know, like, ugh, a lot of, ugh, dach,
like,
you know.
Ich mean, I...
Yeah, it comes a lot from the throat, and there's a lot of hard, yeah, a lot of hard syllables. French is sort of, like, fluid. There's nothing, your mouth isn't making any absolute, like, you know...
Yeah, like it just flows out. Like, you don't need to use
it. Flows out like water.
Much. Yeah.
But, like, English doesn't sound like it. I don't know. I think you'd have to be on the other side of the transaction to know what.
I mean, I guess so. I think like. We've bastardized the language enough, though, at least colloquially.
That's pretty much what this show is, just a testament to the vileness of the English language.
We're just violating English the entire time.
Uh huh. We should just rename our show Violating English.
I don't think that would fly with producers.
Or more probably, like, Violating English.
Violating
English. There's a Louis C.K. bit. That's what made me think of it. About just the way that people talk.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, he's like, I just heard two big guys just... Like, that's what people sound like. Like, yeah, it really made me think. Like, I know, it's hard. Like, women and men are just like... long drawn out syllables that they take no effort to enunciate on, and it's, I don't know, it just struck me. 4:57, probably not a bad time, so we can not take up anybody
else's. To play another song,
to sign ourselves out.
Ooh, okay.
Now we will be back this Monday, unlike last time, because we had our break. But we will be back this upcoming Monday, 4 to 5 again, and hopefully I won't be at a meeting, so it starts late. Any other announcements? I can't think of anything. Homecoming this weekend.
Yeah, homecoming.
Plenty of events this weekend. Also, it is Alcohol Education Week.
Awareness,
go to that thing today, tomorrow. I don't remember.
I think there are events every day.
All right.
Or talks, something like that.
So. And go to the game. Support the troops. We're 2-0. Other than that, I got nothing.
Kiss babies.
Any shameless plug? Oh, no, I lied.
Markiplier Showcase.
Markiplier Showcase, Friday.
Friday? Or Saturday?
We're the worst.
I'm not in it, so.
All right, look it up. How about that?
As much as I love the organization.
Yeah, well, and I'm going to be busy partying hard in, in the Sin City, the East. I think that's what they call it.
No, they don't.
All right. It is 4:59 p.m. This has been Mocha Gumbo. You are still listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. Enjoy this beautiful fall day. We should have beautiful weather all week, so enjoy the entire week.
Hopefully.
Stay warm. We will be back next Monday. Tune in 4 to 5. We love you. I've been Kevin.
And I am still James.
Have a great week.
Love you.